The following episode of Yankee Chatter has been split into two separate episodes, Part 1 and Part 2. Part 2 starts now.
Hi, I'm Bradder.
I am Santino Big Tuna.
And I'm Greg. Welcome to Yankee Chat, a New York Yankees sportscast dedicated to everything New York Yankees and Major League Baseball.
In a way that they can look, watch the game and be, oh, I didn't know that, or oh, you know, this is a learning experience for me. You know, it's an opportunity that they've missed.
I've never understood that code where you can't celebrate when you do something good, especially like a home run or something like that. Like, I don't understand that. I mean, I know that it's part of the sport, and you know, if you do something like that, you're going to get a payback board or your teammate is. But to me, I just don't understand that. You know, like the one I remember. Yeah. I always remember the Bautista one where he basically like threw the bat almost into the stands, and they threw at him team threw at him all year, and it was kind of like,
and then rubbing it all, punch in the face.
You end up getting punched in the face. Yeah,
he did. I mean, he won a playoff game, and it was a big thing for Toronto because Toronto hadn't been in the playoffs in forever. So I hate Bautista, but I actually didn't mind that what he did because that's just part of the moment. But yeah, then they had the whole thing where someone put in the second really hard on him, so they got
no
big fight. Yeah, I mean, you gotta let the kids play. That's what they say, but you gotta actually do it. You can't say it and then still punish guys for doing that stuff. Like Tatis last year, everyone gave him so much crap for hitting that grand slam, and they were up by however many. It's like you can't tell the kids to play. Yeah, it was a 3-0 pitch and hit the grand slam, and you can't tell the kids to have fun and play. And then give them all kinds of crap for it. And he apologized at the game. He didn't know he did anything wrong.
He should have had to apologize. Because it's not his fault that the pitcher threw a ball right down the middle for him to swing at.
Exactly.
He's a batter. He has a bat. He's in the batter's box. He has every right to swing at that. Absolutely. The one thing that is what makes people not want to watch baseball, I think, are these stupid unwritten rules. Everything's an unwritten rule. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't look at the pitcher the wrong way because then he's entitled to throw at you because the pitchers have to police the game. You know, it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's getting way out of hand. If you want people to watch, you want people to be interested in the game, let them express themselves. Let them celebrate. Let them do end zone dances if after they hit a home run if they want to. You know, football players do it. Why can't baseball players do it? Hockey, they all celebrate. They run down the line and slap hands and hug and do all that stuff. Why can't players celebrate like that? You know,
slap hands.
Every sport has their unique way of celebrating, right? Except for baseball.
The only time you celebrate in baseball is after you celebrate without pissing someone off.
Huh?
So let's move on past that because that's
– Okay. All right. Well, we talked enough about Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
I think this is a good opportunity to change gears to the talk more about the Yankees. This is Yankee Chatter after all. When we put this up on iTunes and everything, this will be split into a separate episode. But for the sake of the live stream, we'll just keep this going. We already talked about Major League Baseball. The Yankees, they are the heavy favorites in the AL East, and one of the favorites coming out of the American League to make it to the World Series to face the Dodgers, probably, if not the Padres. You know, there's a couple favorites over there. But one of the big deals this year was who the Yankees were going to sign and or re-sign. And one of the biggest free agents of the offseason was DJ LeMahieu. And it seemed like they were dragging their feet trying to re-sign him. I mean, all the teams were starting to look at him. There were stories coming out where the Yankees told him, or the Yankees weren't negotiating with him. So he made the point to say, well, I'm going to start looking at other locations, possibly the Mets, possibly the Blue Jays. And then finally they re-signed him. Finally. So that's probably the biggest move that the Yankees made this entire offseason was re-signing the second runner-up, the MVP of last year.
Yeah, I mean, everyone kind of knew he was going back to New York, but there was that time where we're all like, wait, is this really happening? Like, are they really going to not budge? And You're going to let someone like the Blue Jays steal them? You know, there was issue. There was times when there could have been issues with that. But, you know, LeMahieu said all along, he knew where he wanted to be. It was the years that he wanted and the place that he wanted that was most important to him. He didn't want to go through free agency again. This would probably take him to close to the end of his career. Bringing him back was huge. And that happened after the Lindor trade. So I wonder if the fact that Lindor was gone had anything to do with that. I wonder if there was an outside chance that Cashman was holding for Lindor. But I don't think the Yankees actually ever really made a trade offer. So I just think it was one of those things that had to get done. It got done. We can all have a sigh of relief and move on to the next needs, which everyone knew was pitching. And go to there now.
Yeah, so pitching has always been a big Achilles heel of the Yankees. Now, they got their guy last year. They signed Gerrit Cole to a huge 9-year deal, which I would say his first season, even though it was shortened by the pandemic, was quite successful. Yeah, not as dominant as we hope, but he did what he had to do, and he was a reliable ace. But the question is now, who falls in behind him? So most of the Yankees' rotation from last year became free agent this year. Yeah. Paxton's a free agent, was a free agent. He just signed with the Mariners.
So he just went to Seattle, yeah?
Yep, back to Seattle. Tanaka became a free agent, which is a little disappointing that they didn't make a run for him, but he went back to Japan because for him it was either Yankees or nothing. He talked to some other teams, but ultimately he decided to go back to Japan, which I guess their spring training's already started. It's weird seeing him in a different uniform. I would have liked to have seen him pitch a few more years in the States, but it is what it is. And Jay Happ, the Yankees, I forgot how they got out of his contract. He didn't meet certain stipulations in his contract last year.
They had a team option if he didn't pitch a certain amount of innings. And if you remember beginning of last year, because of his schedule was, there was a way, I think Gerrit Cole pitched like 4 or 5 games before Happ even pitched one. And they justified that because that's the way the schedule was set up. But Happ said, well, I know what they're trying to manipulate my innings. And it was a back and forth thing. Mm-hmm. So that's how they got out of having to bring him back.
Where'd he end up going to? Minnesota, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's a twin this year. And I think, Brad, that's the vesting option. So he had to meet certain contract requirements through the season. Which you're saying, I think he had to make a certain number of starts or pitch a certain number of innings, and he did not meet those. So the Yankees were able to decline the option, and that's how he became a free agent. Am I missing someone? Who else? Is that everyone in the
– For free agents, he had Herman.
Tommy became a free agent.
Then he had Herman that was suspended for the year, and then he had Severino that was out for the year injured. So,
and then out of the bullpen, they triggered – Zach Britton. So he's back for another 2 years. They lost Tommy Kahnle. He went to the Dodgers. He won't be back till midseason anyways because he had Tommy John last year. But then you have mostly everyone else coming back. Jordan Montgomery is coming back. Davey Garcia, we're going to have a chance to see what he can do. He looked good last year. Coming in late in the season out of the rotation. Clark Schmidt might get a shot. It'll be interesting to see what he does. You said Domingo Herman.
You got Michael King that's going to try again. King is going to make the team. Then they're really hiring this guy, Nick Nelson, to be a bullpen guy. He ain't really fared too well. I think he had 2 or 3 games with the Yankees last year. He did not do very well. But
he had like his first outing, he did okay, and then like he got beat up his next few and then got sent back to the
site. But I think they threw him as like the next Chad Green back there, so
which is great because you know Chad Green's big part of that bullpen, big anchor in that bullpen.
Yeah.
It's a big loss to lose Tommy Kahnle. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why they didn't go as far as they did. He hurt their chances in the playoffs. And then they traded away Adam Ottavino. Yeah. Adam Ottavino went to the Red Sox for cash or a player to be named Milton. Him being traded was just a salary dump. He's supposed to make $9 million this year. And the Yankees are trying desperately to get under the tax threshold. So that's why they haven't made any other big splashes lately.
I guess it's almost a done deal between them and Wilson.
Justin Wilson?
Justin Wilson. And they said, so Wilson plus O'Day, because they signed O'Day, is actually still going to be cheaper than Adavino by himself. So I don't know what
O'Day's. O'Day's a nice pickup. I will be honest. O'Day is a really nice pickup. He's going to be a really under the radar signing. He was really good with the Braves last year, and he's got that sidearm motion. He's essentially a cheaper, a little bit older Adam Adavino, more effective.
Yeah, he was keeping the Yankees' problems with the Orioles. Mm-hmm. But I want to know the Red Sox GM's justification of taking on Adavino's contract. I'm almost wondering if he thinks that if Adavino performs well, then they can flip him for prospects at the deadline, maybe?
Because it's possible. I mean, you don't get many prospects for a bullpen.
Yeah, why else would you take on that? I don't get it.
I don't know either. I think their bullpen was already really thin. And they needed someone. They need someone to back end that bullpen in Boston. They didn't sign right?
Why don't you sign any of these guys that are going to be cheaper than Adavino?
I don't know. I think when Adam Adavino is really good, he's one of the best relievers. He could be one of the best relievers in the game. That's why the Yankees signed him, because he had a really good year, especially out of Colorado. I think they're taking a huge gamble on taking on his salary and his, because he could continue to just get worse. He had a lot of problem with control last year. It was a little disappointing because they spent so much money to sign him for a 3-year contract. So,
I agree. But like I said, they picked up O'Day, and hopefully they grab Wilson here, and that pretty much does it for the Yankees. Oh, and you know, we'll get the Jay Bruce too. But
yep. That wraps up the bullpen. They have big expectations for some high risk, high reward players in Corey Kluber. Corey Kluber apparently looked really good in his showcase, and he's been training and working with Eric Cressy, who is the Yankees' top medical guy, top training guy. So he had a really good look at him while he was gearing up for the showcase. So they're taking a big chance on him. Now, Kluber got hit by a line drive last year. That's why he missed most of the season, or all the season. Yeah. And then he had shoulder problems, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't Tommy John. It wasn't elbow. It was like a shoulder.
It wasn't anything like that. Yeah. So there's a good chance that we're not going to see Kluber of the Cy Young caliber probably, but we will probably see more of what Jay Happ was when he first came over from Toronto after they acquired him. I think that's what they're looking at him to be. And if he could be that and slot in behind Gerrit Cole, then I think you're going to have a really solid 1-2 punch between Kluber and Cole. And then if you get Severino back later in the year, you know, that's a big thing. If he can be Severino and not let the Tommy John surgery affect his effectiveness. So
I think them not bringing back Tanaka is going to kick them in the ass.
A lot of people are saying that. And I was just going to say, I think Kluber needs to be better than what Jay Happ ever was to really be a number two behind Cole.
I agree. I just think we shouldn't put our expectations to that level. I think because Jay Happ was pretty good when he first came over from the trade. We were all surprised how good he was. So if you go in expecting Kluber to be Corey Kluber of the past, I think you're going to be upset. But if he comes in and he puts together a nice season like Happ did when he first came over, I think that would leave me satisfied, because he was very effective, and it's going to make me feel a lot better not going into a Kluber start being like, oh shoot, you know, what are we going to get out of him? Because that's what Happ turned into his last year and the year before. You know, he wasn't the same pitcher, and you didn't know what you were going to get out of him. It all depended, and same with Paxton. Paxton, he couldn't get out of the first inning, and if he did, then he ended up having a good start. If he didn't, then it totally blew up his day, and you don't want that to happen to you. You don't want that to happen to your number two guy, which brings me to the other guy that they traded for from Pittsburgh, Jameson Taillon.
And Tylon, I think they're hoping Tylon has the same kind of season that Eovaldi had with the Yankees when he first came over. Like, everyone kind of gave up on him because of his injuries. And mm-hmm. They ended up pitching really good for the Yankees. So I'm hoping Tylon has the same kind of bounce back.
Mm-hmm. I hope so too, because I think what is working for him is that he's very good friends with Gerrit Cole. I mean, they played together in Pittsburgh. They were roommates in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. I think having someone like that for Gerrit Cole will help him in the long run. And I think it'll help Tylon in the long run, because you're going to have two guys that are going to be perfecting and working on their craft, and they're going to be probably going to be really close. So if he can stay healthy, I like the Eovaldi analogy. I also think that they might look at him to take Tanaka's place.
Like, he's going to have offset. To.
He's going to have to, but that's, I think, what they're hoping they get out of him. So it'll be exciting. I think if they can stay healthy, that you're going to have a nice, solid rotation for the Yankees. And it's a very deep one, too.
That's the thing. It's frightening, because it can either be – so, the naysayers, the critics are going to say, well, the Yankees got all these pitchers between Kluber and Tylon and Herman that threw a combined one inning last year. Now, one inning was Corey Kluber's.
Yep.
But then there's the flip side of it that's like, well, wait a second. Do all these guys stay healthy? Like you said, Greg, that's a really deep rotation, and that's a really scary postseason rotation, especially for my pitches. Like, then you get Severino halfway through the year, and then everyone always forgets about my boy Jordan Montgomery.
You got Montgomery, and then you got Davey Garcia and Clark Schmidt and Jonathan Loaisiga as additional depth. Now, I think Loaisiga should be in the bullpen. I think
he should be the bullpen guy. Yeah, and I think
Phil Hughes in 2009.
Exactly.
He reminds me a lot of him.
I was just going to say.
He reminds me of a young Mariano Rivera. I'm not saying he's going to be as effective as Mariano Rivera. He just looks like Mariano Rivera. But I think he could ultimately be a 1-2 inning guy that throws straight heat like Phil Hughes did in 2009. And Phil Hughes was a big part of why the Yankees won that World Series.
Yeah, huge part.
The way I was thinking about the other day was, Yankee fans, they always want trades and free agent signings to get better, right? But they always want to trade for guys on other teams like Tylon that are young, have years of control, and have potential. Well, instead of looking at Pittsburgh's farm system or any other team's farm system, look at your own. If you had a Davey Garcia, which we didn't have even mentioned yet, if we had a Davey Garcia, a Jordan Montgomery, a Clark Schmidt, Herman, if any of those guys were on another team, you probably would want the Yankees to trade for them if they were made available. Mm-hmm. Well, we had mm-hmm. them all.
It would be like Luis Castillo, right? All the Yankee fans want Luis Castillo. If these guys were given innings and an opportunity on a small market team, they'd probably be at the top or middle or upper middle of the rotation.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, you gotta have faith that the Yankees believe in these young pitchers for a reason. Now let them pitch. Let them play. I mean, I think that's what you got to do. Have a little faith in these kids.
Mm-hmm. This reminds me a lot of back when Phil Hughes and Jabba Chamberlain and Ian Kennedy were all coming up at the same time. Remember that? Well, everyone's like, this is the second.
I hope they're a little better than that group turned out to be.
Yeah, I hope they're better than that group. Well, they had a lot of high expectations because the Yankees hadn't developed their own pitching since Pettit came up.
Well, Kinsler won a Cy Young with Arizona, didn't he?
Who did?
Didn't he win a Cy Young with Arizona or no? He was really good with Arizona.
He's a closer now for Kansas City, so.
Not Kinsler. Who am I thinking? The other guy, because. I can't think of his name. Ian Kennedy, right?
Ian Kennedy.
Is that the right name?
I don't think Kennedy ever won a Cy Young.
So out of that group,
he was really good. They traded him to. Did he pitch for Arizona? Oh, I'm bringing him up. I'm bringing him up right now.
Phil Hughes went to Minnesota, right?
Someone that was part of that group.
They traded him to Arizona. He had one good year there where he finished fourth in the Cy Young voting.
All right,
he went 21-4. with a 2.88 ERA and 222 innings pitched. Yeah, and then he was okay next year. And then they traded him to San Diego, and then San Diego sent him to Kansas City.
Right, because Jabba, with that group, Hughes went to Minnesota, Jabba went to Detroit, and Kennedy went to Arizona.
Well, Jabba and Hughes were on the Yankees for a few years first.
They were both on the Yankees in 2009. Jabba left in 2000. His last year on the Yankees was 2013, Jabba. So he was on the Yankees for 7 years.
Yeah.
And then
he pitched
for Detroit. And yeah, Kansas City. And then he got
hurt jumping on his kid's trampoline. And that was the end of his career.
Yep.
Well, don't you remember him on Detroit? He railed Jeter by accident.
Yeah, he did.
You remember that? He was so sorry about it.
Jeter.
He looked
Aaron Jeter's last year, right?
He looked like
it was his last season.
He looked like he hadn't gotten a haircut or a shave in years.
Yeah, he was never really very good after the Yankees. That's one other issue, but they screw that guy's career up big time, if you ask me.
Yeah. Moving him back and forth between starting and in the bullpen totally messed him up.
And remember the shirts everyone had, the Jabba rules? Because they had all these rules. He can only pitch certain innings. He couldn't pitch back-to-back games. It was so stupid.
Yep. Yeah. But so anyways, hopefully these young pitchers are not Hughes. Now, Hughes ended up having a solid career. I wouldn't say he was anything great, but he was decent.
A pretty good average career, yeah.
Yeah, out of the three, I think, Ian Kennedy's still pitching, but he had to move to the bullpen permanently. He's not a starter anymore. Hughes went back to starting after 2009 and then pitched for a few years in Minnesota, and then I think he went to San Diego and then retired this year.
He should have stayed in the bullpen. He was really good.
He was so good in the bullpen.
So, pitching-wise, I think you just got to hold your breath and hope that these guys can pitch to their potential. They pitch to their potential. Yankees have one of the best rotations in the American League.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, with that said, let's talk a little bit about the batting lineup, and then we'll probably have to call it a day.
Big Tuna's calling it. I got to call it a day right now.
Just changed. Go ahead, Tino.
I was going to say, I got to hop off right now. You guys can finish up the show.
It's been fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, thanks
for joining us.
3:30 was my cutoff. I got to head out.
Feeding time. Someone's got to feed the guy now.
I got to feed the sloths. You guys have a good rest of your day. Enjoy the rest of your Valentine's Day.
You as well, buddy.
See you soon.
Later.
Talk to you soon. All right, we won't take too much time.
Well, now we got the dead weight off the show.
we can talk a little bit about the batting order. Not much has changed. The big thing right now is left field. What are they going to do? Are they going to let Frazier actually start and be the regular left fielder? Or are they going to re-sign Brett Gardner? A lot of people think that they are going to sign Brett Gardner. I would be okay if they didn't. I mean, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. A lot of people are going to be offended if they don't, because he's been a Yankee his entire career. But I don't know how you feel about that, Brad.
I think I don't think they need to sign him. I think they wait. I don't see Gardner playing anywhere else. So I think if there's an injury, they might sign him back. But other than that, I don't think they need to. They already have Tauchman as a backup left fielder. So there's your lefty bat. He got Stanton that can play left if needed. And then, I don't know if you remember, right, but one of the first free agents or trades that the Yankees did this year was for a utility outfielder. I want to say his last name was Belt, maybe. Do you remember that transaction?
I don't.
It was really early. I want to say it was December, maybe November. But they traded for a guy that is, from what I understand, a pretty good outfielder and a guy that can kind of be like a Cameron Maben, I guess you could say. Just kind of fill in when the Yankees need him to. So if he makes the team, I think he has to make the team first. Okay. Let me know when you find that.
Because I don't remember this.
I can't remember. I want to say it was start with a B. Maybe Belt was the last name. Well, either way, while you're looking at it, I'm just gonna say I don't
keep talking.
I don't think the Yankees need to sign Gardner. I think they need to give Frazier the confidence that this is his spot now. No more trying to prove yourself. No more trade talks. Just this is your left field now. Just go out and play. He was in the running for a Cy Young last year, so he worked on his fielding. The guy has always hit well and he's got consistent at bats. So this is it. This is his time to shine. I'm feel bad for Gardy, you know, between him and Tanaka leaving. That's a huge part of the organization that's leaving in 1 year, a big core of them. But they have enough guys behind them. And what are you going to do with Tauchman? Like, there's enough of this guy just sitting on the bench playing once a week. You have him there for a reason. And bring Gardner back to be just an older version of him just seems kind of unneeded, unnecessary.
Yeah. I agree with that.
So that's how I feel about the left field situation.
I can't find it.
Okay.
We'll look it up and we'll tweet it after the show, unless I can find it in the next few minutes. But so that, and they just signed Jay Bruce.
Yeah. Is he still play outfielder?
He can play outfield. Probably not more than a left fielder at this point. And I think he's got a few games at first base. So you get a little bit I'd rather see him in the lineup than Mike Ford. No offense to Mike Ford.
Right.
But they also signed Asher Wojciechowski. He's a pitcher.
I don't know that one.
He used to pitch for the Orioles.
Okay.
Let's see.
Maybe it's Greg Allen. Maybe Greg Allen, I'm thinking.
Oh, Greg Allen. Yeah,
Greg Allen. Yeah, I don't know why I thought his name started with a B, but Greg Allen.
Yeah, they picked him up from
So I think that's their other utility outfielder that they're going to count on making the team this year.
Mm-hmm.
Why else would you trade for him?
I don't think they need to. I would rather see them – if they were going to sign another player, I'd rather see them sign a reliever at this point. And it only then, if they were going to try and sign or make a trade, I'd like to see them trade for a starting pitcher. I think they're Socrates Brito.
Remember I said the guy's name starts with a B? Socrates Brito was who they traded for.
Yeah, I remember seeing that too. Obviously, it wasn't a very memorable experience for me. I don't remember that.
Because I remember this is the very beginning of free agent signing, and everyone's like on Twitter, like, guys, the Yankees, they finally did something. We got Socrates Brito.
Yep. So I'm looking at, they signed him in January on the 6th. Okay. They got Nestor Cortez is back, Andrew Velasquez, Socrates Brito. They also picked up Julius Chacin.
Yeah, he's a pitcher that's going to try to make the team.
Mm-hmm. And then they traded James Reeves for Greg Allen. They also got Tyler Lyons back, Steven Ridings. Some of these names I don't.
No, but anyways, so I think Brito is going to be a guy that they're going to count on maybe filling Gardner's spot. So anyways, I don't see a need to bring Gardner back. Like I said, I don't need to.
They have plenty of depth in the outfield. And then, you know, you got plenty of depth in the infield. You got Voit and LeMahieu can play first. LeMahieu can play literally anywhere in the infield.
Yeah,
I'm sure he could play shortstop if he needed to. You got Gleyber at second and short, as well as LeMahieu. I mean, you got guys that can play multiple positions. I think that's the big thing that the Yankees are trying to do is pick up guys that can play more than one place. Obviously, first base, you're kind of stuck with a guy that can really only play first base in the void. But outside of that,
there too.
Yeah, and then you got LeMahieu that can play there. But then you got Urshela who can play short and second in a pinch. Gleyber can play second. Yeah, you got guys. And you got Tyler Wade who can play all three of those infield in positions.
Spring training hero, Tyler Wade. That's all he is.
That is. I would hope he can take a step forward because I'm tired of people, you know, saying he's not going to amount to anything. He probably won't, but it'd be nice to see him do something.
It'd be nice. I mean, he's a left-hand hitter, and he's got a lot of speed. It'd be great to see him next step again and be able to hit, but he just doesn't.
No, he doesn't. So, I mean, and then the only other position that I'm worried about is catcher. I mean, we have Gary Sanchez and we have Kyle Higashioka, but, you know, if Sanchez has another season, this will be three seasons in a row where he falls off the face of the earth and looks like he has never seen a curveball before in his life, then we're going to have some problems. Then the Yankees are going to have to find another catcher somewhere. You can't, like I said earlier when we were talking about MLB in general, is you can't have a Kyle Higashioka be your starting catcher. He's not that. I think he's better than Romine, but he's not, or he could be better than Romine, but he's not a starter. And then what do you do?
I actually blame the Yankees for a lot of Sanchez's career because I love Kyle Higashioka. Higashioka as a backup catcher is fine, but I think Sanchez would have really benefited from a veteran backup, like they had a little part of last year with Kratz. A guy that was out there that just signed last week was Jonathan Lucroy. I mean, I know the Yankees didn't have any room for him, but with Higashioka there, but I would have loved to see him as the backup. He's been in interviews this year saying he was planning on going to a team as a backup, helping out the starter, because he said it took him almost 10 years to figure out how to actual call an MLB game on his own. Just looking at other
You know what also hurt the Yankees is when they brought in Aaron Boone, they lost Joe Girardi, former catcher, and Tony Pena. Tony Pena would have been the best thing for Gary Sanchez. He would have been, I mean, I think, and he was there still, right? Because Girardi was manager still when Sanchez first came up. So you had a very strong catcher coaching in the organization. You know, that's why he was, I think, able to skyrocket through the minors and have the success he had his first 2 years in the big leagues. Yeah. But after that, when Boone came in, you know, he lost his direction. He doesn't have, like you said, a veteran presence, someone who knows what they're doing, who's been catching for a long time in the big leagues to kind of look to. And I think like you said, really
hurt. That's the reason why I would have welcomed, like I said, Lucroy, even like if they could have somehow gotten Molina this year, not to take over Sanchez's job, but just to have that guy that can help him through the whole rigors of a season behind the plate. Sanchez never had that, and I think that would have really helped his career. Unfortunately, he's going to have to do it himself again this year.
I hope so. I hope he can. I hope he can overcome all this because he had so much hype coming up through the system that you would want him to have that success. And it's unfortunate that because he's struggled, that he's getting the grief that he has been getting. And I would really hope that that he can pull it together this year and silence the critics. Will that happen? I don't think so. I think we're going to have the same stuff. I think he'll probably have a few streaks in there where he might look like the same Gary Sanchez that we wanted all along. And then I think he's just going to – I don't know. It's going to be a tough year for him. If he can't right the ship, then I don't think he will be a Yankee next year.
Well, if that's the case, then Yankees are going to be in a lot of trouble. Where do you go from there? Higashioka's not going to be your starter.
They have some catching depth in the minors in Austin Wells and a couple of – they got
– I'm looking forward to seeing Austin Wells.
What's that?
I'm looking forward to Austin Wells, you know, get some actual minor league games this year. I want to see how well he's developing because from what I hear, he's very athletic. I think he can play outfield and first base as well as catcher.
Well, that's good. That's good. And they need someone that has that flexibility so that when he gets to a point in his career where he can't catch anymore, then at least you have some place to put him. But, you know, they've drafted
– the Yankees, because of Stanton, DH is pretty much always taken. So that's the unfortunate problem.
Exactly. So you need some players that can give you flexibility. But the other guy I'm looking forward to finally playing a minor league game this year is Jason Dominguez.
Yeah.
Everybody, I think, is looking forward to him because he's drawn some big hype, big hype, a lot more hype than any other Yankees prospect I've seen in recent years. And yeah. I'm just hoping that he can hold up to it because they're comparing him to Mike Trout. They're comparing him to Mickey Mantle. They're comparing him to – there's another name in there I can't remember off the top of my head. Bo Jackson. So that's great. You can make all the comparisons you want, but he's still got to go out there and play the game. And if he can do that, then look out. I think the Yankees are going to have their center fielder of the future. I think he's going to be a big name that you're going to see them try and build around for years. And even if he doesn't live up to the hype, I would at least like to see him be the next Bernie Williams.
Man, that's right? All I ask for. Just give me another Bernie out there. That's all we need.
Exactly. So I don't really have anything else.
I want to see him play a game because all this is based on his exit velocity and how well his swing looks and all that. But it's off of just BP pitchers and machines. I want to see this guy go up there and hit a breaking ball. You know, I want to see him play the field and come in and then have to go out and hit again in a professional game. So I'm excited to see
that. And probably most importantly on top of all that, staying healthy.
Which is never usually in the Yankees' favor, so.
No, never seems to be. And I hope this year they're able to get past all that injury stuff. Now, injury's going to happen. Yeah, I mean, are injuries going to happen? Yeah, of course. Someone's going to get hurt. But you hope that it's nothing that's going to derail an entire season or make you wonder how they're going to scrape together a lineup for a significant amount of time. So I hope that this is the year that this is when they stay healthy and Judge has a full year and Stanton has a full year because I'm getting tired of all the Stanton hate. I'm really getting sick of it. They traded for him, and at the time it was I think it was the best trade they could have made. He was coming off an MVP year. He can hit 50 home runs. He was staying healthy for the most part. It was a good move. No one could have seen what has happened to happen. You know what I mean? So I really hope that he finally stays healthy.
Looking back, the trade that I guess you can say you should have made now is probably Christian Yelich instead of Stanton. But that's looking back. You know, at the time, like you said, he was the MVP of the National League. You got to make that trade if you can.
And he's still in his 20s, right? So he's young. He's entering the prime of his career. Marlins can't pay for him. The Yankees can. Why? I'd make that move 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want the reigning NL MVP on your team?
Exactly. Be a fool not to.
So, yep. So it's unfortunate he hasn't quite lived up to the hype since they acquired him. But I don't think the hate is really necessary. And I would like for him to take what he did in the playoffs and at the end of the season last year when he came back and carry that over to this year and be the Giancarlo Stanton that we have been wanting since we picked him up.
Well, that's the thing with him. Usually when he does play, he plays well.
Mm-hmm. Keeping him on the field is the key. Same with Judge. And I hope Judge isn't turning into that. Like he's been hurt every year since his rookie season, and the first injury was unfortunate because he got hit by a pitch up and in on the wrist, and then the second one I think was pretty unfortunate as well. Last year was you know, he needs to be better conditioned, and that's why I think it's important that they're having him and Stanton do yoga this offseason, increase their flexibility, hopefully their durability, and hopefully we get a full season out of them because I think Judge is one of the top five players in the game when healthy.
When healthy, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And then Glaber needs a bounce back season in the worst way. He had a tough season defensively at shortstop last year.
This is a guy who just 3 years ago was the number one prospect in all of baseball as a shortstop. So the talent's there. You just got to use it.
Yeah, and you're telling me that he all of a sudden forgot how to play shortstop? No, I think he just had a down year. He's only 23, right? 23, 24.
People don't want to look. Well, don't want to talk about how his year last year was actually better than Didi's first year at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
In the field.
Everybody was crying when Didi left, when they didn't re-sign him, and when they missed out on him this year. Not that they necessarily missed out on him. It's just that, you know, Didi's now on the wrong side of 30, and Torres is the future. Torres is going to be the one that, if he can recreate the season from 2 years ago, hit 39 home runs and get better defensively, then he's the person you build a team around. He and Judge could be dangerous for, and then add Dominguez to that, could be dangerous right. for a long time.
He better be.
So before we wrap this up, we have someone, Chris D, who's been watching and leaving comments, and I appreciate you sticking this out, Chris. He's been asking a couple questions, and I'd just like to answer a couple of them before we sign off, Brad, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he asked us both, and I guess Tino when he was still on, who are your favorite Yankees of all time? You want to go first, Brad?
All time? Well, I mean, I wasn't alive to see the greats play, but I'm going to go back to the greats, you know, Gehrig and Ruth and Mantle and DiMaggio. That's my top four of all time. But as guys I like to that I've seen play, my favorites, a lot of those 90s teams. I love Bernie Williams. Obviously, Greg will probably talk to you about Don Mattingly for the next hour. So he's up there.
Yeah, ball over my shoulder. Don Mattingly signed.
But all-time favorites, yeah. I mean, Jeter, Bernie Williams, Andy Pettit, Rivera, the usuals. I'm not a guy that has weird ones. I mean, I loved Melky Cabrera before he got traded away. But other than that, I don't really have any other strange ones that you wouldn't really expect from anyone else.
Mine was when I was – so I think it depends on the time period. When I was a really young kid, my favorite player was Don Mattingly. I'm not left-handed, but I used to pretend to do his batting stance, and I never got to see him play. We used to go on bus trips every year. Well, my dad did. He would go to Yankee Stadium every year with one of the local churches. And then the first year that I was old enough to go, they ended up deciding to go to the Fenway. So we ended up going to a Red Sox game. So my first big league game was a Red Sox game. And unfortunately, that year was Donnie's last year. And then next year we went to Yankee Stadium, and I never got to see him play. So that was disappointing when he retired. But he was probably my all-time favorite. Then Jeter, you know, being 8, 9, 10 years old when Jeter came into the big leagues, and I played shortstop, so I always would, copy him. Then Brad will probably tell you I used to be obsessed with Robinson Cano until he left to Seattle.
Yeah.
And now it's probably Judge, but I think before I was born, I think I would have loved to seen Donnie in his prime. I would have loved to seen Joe DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle and probably Yogi Berra. I think that would have been fun to see. I can't, like Brad said, I can't really narrow it down to one person. I think it really depends on the time period. We appreciate you watching, Chris. He just said this is his first time watching. I'm glad you're subscribing. Thank you. Spread the word. To answer your question about my shirt, I buy a lot of shirts from Baseballism. It's a clothing line that's only does baseball-themed clothes, and it actually says 6-4-3=2. It's like turning a double play. The numbers that they use to associate shortstop, second base, first base equals double play. So they have cool shirts like that. That's what that stands for. And I think he asked one more question, and then we can wrap up, Brad. Again, thanks again for sticking it out for those that have been watching. While I'm looking, we're on all the social medias. We're on Twitter at Yankee Chatter, Facebook at Yankee Chatter, Instagram at Yankee Chatter. We each have individual accounts. Our handles are on the screen. But for those of you listening, at Greg Andriano 05, Brad is at Bradder Chatter 1. Tino is Big Tuna BBS or something, BBS Big Tuna. It's on our profile if you want to follow him. All of our links are there. And then we're on audio. We're on all the podcast platforms, Spotify, Google Play, and iTunes. So if you missed out on this, if you're catching the end of this live stream, check it out. We'll be on YouTube and on iTunes and all those podcasting platforms. I don't see another question, so I think that'll wrap it up. Thanks again for tuning in.
If you have some questions, you can send it to us before our next show too, which we don't have a date yet, but I'm sure it'll be soon, especially with spring training coming. So get at us on our Twitters, and we can chat there.
Yeah, that's a good point, Brad. If anyone's interested in sending us questions so it gives us something else to talk about on the next episode, that'd be fantastic. Otherwise, thanks for tuning in. We're excited for spring training to start. Hopefully, this is the year for the Yankees that we've been waiting for since 2009. Fingers are crossed. Until next time, this is Yankee Chatter. I'm Greg. He's Brad. Tino is no longer with us. I mean, he's still alive, so don't worry. He had to drop off early. But thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you soon.
Yankee Chatter is a proud member of the Bigger and Bradder Sports Network. To view previous episodes of Yankee Chatter, check out Bigger and Bradder Sports on YouTube and subscribe. Thank you again for listening to Yankee Chatter, a New York Yankees sportscast.